law to get there. Because I know that, yeah, that'll be fine.
Well, you know what? It's just no matter when it is.
That's what we do most of the time.
Thank you.
I didn't know you were here today. We're all precious. How are you?
Every day we'll get more and more views.
I hear about that stuff.
What I have.
This one is the National Qualifiers.
I was getting all the tweets while you guys were at the thing at the college.
Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff. I'm waiting for our speech to work this week.
All right. Everyone, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
All right. Adequate notice in the meeting to be held by the Township of Ocean Board of Education on Tuesday, January 19, 2016, at 8 p.m. has been provided in accordance with the requirement of Chapter 231, Public Laws 1975. Notice of the meeting was posted on the bulletin board of the lobby of the Administration Building, 163 Monmouth Road, Oakers, New Jersey, all Ocean Township District Schools and Transportation, and the District School website on January 7, 2016. Notice of the meeting was transmitted to the Asbury Park Press on January 7, 2016, and to the Coaster newspaper on January 7, 2016. Notice of the meeting was filed with the Municipal Clerk, Township of Ocean, and the Municipal Clerk, Village of Lock Harbor, on January 7, 2016. Mr. Danereau, please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mr. Teacher.
Here.
Mr. Marshall.
Here.
Mr. McGovern.
Here.
Mr. Moore.
Here.
Mr. Paloudis.
Here.
Mr. Parlamas?
Here.
Ms. Sylvia?
Here.
And Mr. Haddon?
Here.
Nine members present. We have a quorum.
Okay. Okay, let's start with our student representatives, Hannah Rose and David Wall. Take a look.
So right now in the high school, we have a lot going on, such as an SPCA pet drive for all the students to donate food and toys to the dogs and cats of the SPCA. And we still have the Rock Your Socks Foundation going on for the underprivileged boys and girls to donate new socks to them. And tomorrow night, there's a showcase known as Ocean Dance Theater Show. And it's for all the dance for the school. And the pep rally for winter break went very well. It was a big success for everybody. And finals are coming up next week, so it's marking the end of the first semester. And the freshman tip-off was also tonight to introduce all the new freshmen incoming next year.
Our winter sports have continued the great play of our sports in our school from the fall. The boys basketball, all three teams played home today against Mattawan. The varsity team tipped off at 7 for the freshman tip-off. The girls basketball teams played away at Mattawan. The hockey team played at Midtown South tonight, a big game for them. The wrestling has a match tomorrow at Long Branch. Swimming, the boys clinched their division with a win versus Neptune, and they had a meet today against RBC. And winter track has a short conference tournament this Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night. All right, for the superintendent's report, to Dr. Stefankiewicz.
Well, thank you, sir.
Literally, turning to Dr. Stefankiewicz.
Thank you. All right, so we have some student recognitions this evening, and then we also have a presentation of our 2014-15 student performance reports that are some of the park performance results, along with SAT and other school performance measures. Mrs. Conrad, our Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum Instruction, will be providing that presentation in just a few moments. But first, because we do like to make sure our kids are acknowledged and can get home at a decent hour to complete all their homework. We have a few student recognitions to hand out this evening. So we're going to start with our intermediate school. And first, I'd like to acknowledge Alexandra Santos. Is Alex here? She is. I recognize her. So Alex is part of the Arts and Education Center of Monmouth County, and she is a photographer. Right, Alex? Do you go by Alex or Alexandra?
Both.
Would you be okay if I called you Alex? Good. Okay. So Alex was named Best of Best for her work, and it's now part of the Traveling Student Art Exhibit for the current school year. Her photographer will be a part of an exhibit that will tour various libraries in the area. Her work is displayed at the Township Ocean Public Library, which I'm really excited about because it should be at the Township Ocean Public Library, and the Eatontown Public Library during the month of December. And Alex participated in the Arts High School and Middle School last school year. So do you want to come on up as we have Mr. Castillo is going to come up, and you're going to get to take a great picture with Mr. Castillo. How cool would that be? Here you are. I'm going to take the little sticky off here. Here you are. And then, Alex, can I ask you to hold up? And I'm going to take a picture too. Dad. Wait. Come on. That would be great if you had like a backdrop. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Okay, thank you. Next up. Now, one of our students with DECA is at the basketball game, so we're going to try to talk slow during this next presentation. So we hope we hopefully can get here. Okay, so next up. Back on November 14th, one of the most amazing events that I've ever attended was held at our high school. And walked into on a Saturday morning at about 9 o'clock, walked into our cafeteria, and there were probably, I know this little note here says over 400, but I will tell you that that was probably a conservative estimate. There had to be well over 500 people in the cafeteria. It's a good thing the fire marshal wasn't there, I have to say. But anyway, we won't say anything. But this was the 12th annual GSA Forum. And people from all over the state, and we were so honored and proud to host this event. And our Gay Straight Alliance, our GSA, under the direction of Ms. Sue Henderson and Mrs. Griffin, Rose Griffin, helped to organize this event along with the students, and it was just an amazing day of communication and sharing and learning, and there was just such an incredible energy in that room. We're going to host it every year, right, ladies? only if I run it, right?
We're not.
No, been there, done that. I'm not going to do that. So anyway, so we wanted to honor these folks because they did such an amazing job of organizing this event and making everyone from around the state really understand what a wonderful, open, diverse community Ocean Township is and how welcoming we are for all people. And that was something amazing. So the students that we have, and Miss Weldon would normally be here, but she is at the tip-off, and so she apologizes that she's not here at the moment. And perhaps she'll join us, but I want to, Elise Hazel, is Elise here?
Yep.
Elise, please come up. Elise is the president of our high school GSA, right? And congratulations to you. Now, I'm going to ask you to stay, because eventually we're going to take a nice picture, okay? So here's a wonderful certificate for you. And then we have Quinn Roman. Is Quinn here? Yeah. Okay. Congratulations to you as well. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Griffin and Ms. Henderson, their advisors, to please come up as well. Now, Now, you know, you four are really the, you know, I couldn't do justice to how as I described. So I don't know if you want to say anything about the event or just about the experience. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Sue, you've never been someone for lack of words.
We actually ran it. It was run through GLSEN, Gay Lesbian Educational Network of Central Jersey, and we've been, Mrs. Griffin and I have been for 12 years. We've been to every single one. And we kept saying, well, it's at this high school, that's good. And we travel hours through the whole state of New Jersey just to join these 500 crazy energy kids and people. And they asked us, and we said, yeah. We jumped at the fact that we thought Ocean Township would be a perfect place, because I am very proud of our community at Ocean, because we don't have a problem with bullying. I'm going to tell you that right now. Our kids report back to us, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you, we don't have a problem. And it's amazing, and due to our GSA, to the teacher's training that we have done, and our kids are just, they're tremendous. I'm very proud of them for what they've done. And this was not easy. This was a very, very tough thing to do.
They made it look very easy, though.
Well, I got to say, when we were done, of course, Dr. Stavankiewicz goes, why don't we have the gay prom here? It's at Rumson this year. Maybe next year.
Outstanding. So, do you mind? I think this gentleman's going to take a picture, and then I'm going to ask you to turn around, if that's okay.
Okay, one more.
I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Photo bomb.
Okay, do you mind?
One more.
Got it?
Yep.
All right.
Do you mind just turning around?
Turn around.
Dr. Stavankiewicz wants to take pictures of his thumb.
Yes.
Are we doing
ready? No, he's perfect. Outstanding.
Amazing. I've got it without the thumb.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He's in the car. He's on his way. Well, would the rest of the group mind if we did the presentation on the students?
Yeah, we could.
Would that be okay?
They're going to run in as they.
Okay. I would really hate to miss it.
That's absolutely.
Is that okay?
Whatever.
If we wait and just we'll go forward with our other presentation.
I figure by the time the discussion's over, then they will.
They'll be here. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, high schoolers, they have work.
They should be more considerate, I think. You know, what are you going to do? Okay, so if that's okay, maybe we'll go to Mrs. Conrad's presentation, and then we'll move back to the DECA presentation after that. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate that. Mrs. Conrad, this is the 2014-15 school year student performance data. Now, the students who we've already recognized, we certainly understand. I'm sure you're very anxious to see this presentation, and you're very welcome to stay, but if you do want to make an exit, we would not be, and the board would not be upset in any way. So thank you for coming. We appreciate it very much.
You can stay. You can stay.
Test scores, that will clear out the room anyway.
Cheer?
Now we shut up.
Do you want to wait?
You know, are they both here?
She is here. Shalyn is literally going to come in any second. I just came from high school.
Why don't you start?
I'm excited to.
Oh, wait a minute. We got here.
Oh, that's fine. We can all.
The door is open.
The door is opening.
Here's somebody.
Those are the other kids leaving.
Oh, okay. let's hear some student performance report, shall we?
Cool, man. What it is.
We're waiting for a father.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Start?
Sorry.
Okay. If you'd like me to stop midway, just let me
know. We may need a break halfway.
I think that you may. I've timed this. It's an hour and a half.
Okay, so 45 minutes in, we break.
Okay, tonight I will be presenting the district's 2015 test scores in relation to PARC, the SAT, AP, and NJASC Science, grades 4 and 8. Before I begin with showing scores, I'd like to just give a brief overview of how we arrived today to be looking at park test results instead of what we've looked at for the past decade, NJASK test results. So, to just give a brief history on this, in 2009, the New Jersey State Board of Education adopted new course requirements for a high school diploma, such as 4 years of English and 3 years of math. In 2010, the State Board adopted the Common Core State Standards in Language Arts and Math, which are widely understood to be higher standards than New Jersey's prior standards, focused more on the kinds of skills and knowledge that students will need after they leave high school. In 2008, the High School Redesign Task Force courageously stated that New Jersey's old high school assessment, the High School Proficiency Assessment, or HESPA, wasn't measuring college or career readiness, and that it was all but ignored by the colleges. Their recommendation was clear. New Jersey should replace the HESPA with a series of end-of-course assessments in English and math, and those assessments should be aligned with the expectations of college entrance requirements and the workforce. As a result, New Jersey joined the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, PARC, and gave the first PARC assessments in 2015. The PARC assessments replaced our old assessments, the NJASK and the HESPA, in language arts and math. Students began taking these assessments in third grade last year, as is required by federal law. This slide shows the five performance levels PARC uses to delineate knowledge, skills, and practices that students demonstrate. Level 4 and 5 is considered college and career ready at the high school level. A college and career readiness determination means at participating colleges and universities, students can enter their freshman year without having to take remediation courses. Here are the statewide results for the first year of PARC assessments in English language arts and literacy. If you look in third grade, 15% did not meet expectations, 18% partially met expectations, 24% approached, 39% met expectations, and 5% exceeded expectations. 44%, 39 plus the 5, 44% were greater than or equal to level 4. Here are the state, and if we look down this column, you can see the performance level or the percent of students who scored level 4 or 5 for each of the grades 3 through 11 in ELA. And this is across the state. And now we'll look at the percentage of students who scored a 4 or 5 in mathematics across the state. And the reason I'm sharing the state results is so that you can have a good feel for how our district did if we look at how students across the state of New Jersey did. At the middle school, students took the assessment most closely aligned with their content. Thus, New Jersey's 8th grade outcomes are not representative of 8th grade as a whole. Approximately 30,000 middle school students across the state took the Algebra 1 assessment instead of the 8th grade assessment. Therefore, the 8th grade math outcomes are artificially low because more advanced students sat and took the Algebra 1 PARC assessment. Also important to note is that as a state, we do see stronger performance in our earlier grades. This is a positive outcome as much of the math skills and knowledge builds upon the prior years. Thus, it's not surprising to see weaker outcomes in our higher grade levels. for students who have not benefited from many years of full implementation of our new Common Core state standards. Also important to keep in mind that we've never tested the course content of Geometry and Algebra 2 statewide before. In the first year of a new assessment, there's always a tendency to want to compare it to the prior assessment, but those comparisons are inappropriate. As mentioned earlier, our old assessment was not measuring college and career readiness, while the PARC assessments are designed to do so. Thus, comparing PARC to HESPA is like comparing apples to oranges. PARC is a new baseline. It's a new starting point from which we will measure our growth as a district. And now we'll look at our district results compared to the state of New Jersey. This chart shows the elementary district level outcomes that's across our district, all of third grade and all of fourth grade for the first year of the PARC assessment. The first column indicates the count of valid test scores in the district. So we have 242 students tested in grade 3, 243 in grade 4. Our district, and we're looking at the percent of students who scored 4 or 5 on the PARC assessment. So we had 33% scored a 4, 2% scored a 5, so 33 plus the 2, 35% across the district in grade 3 scored a 4 or greater. In grade 4, 62% scored grade 4 or 5 on the PARC assessment. In grade 3, we underperformed the state by 9%, and we outperformed the state by 11% in grade 4. This column, which I don't know why, sometimes the light doesn't light up. This column here is how New Jersey did, which we've already looked at, but I put it here for comparative purposes. So we're 9% below the state and 11% above the state. This is in ELA grade 4. And now we'll look at the breakdown by school. So we will look at the elementary schools, ELA, English Language Arts Literacy, OTS, Wanamassa, and Wayside. The dark blue, the navy blue, is each school, and we're looking at the percent of students who scored a 4 or a 5 compared to across the district. The district as a whole is this column, and across the state is the last column. So I'm comparing each school to the district and to the state. So we'll start with OTES. OTES grade 3 underperformed the district by 2% and the state by 11%. Grade 4 OTES underperformed the district by 17% and the state by 6%. Wanamassa grade 3 outperformed the district by 16% and the state by 7%. Grade 4 outperformed the district by 13% and the state by 24%. And Wayside, grade 3, underperformed the district by 4% and the state by 13%. Grade 4, Wayside outperformed the district by 3% and the state by 14%. This is in ELA. Now we'll look at the district as a whole in mathematics. Again, the red is our district. Next, we have the state of New Jersey. And lastly, this is the PARC Consortium. Their PARC is made up, 12 states took the same test that New Jersey did, so we can compare to the PARC states. So, if we look, grade 3, the district outperformed the state by 4%. Grade 4 in mathematics across the district outperformed the state by 13%. And now we'll look at the breakdown by schools. Again, this is mathematics. Each of the three schools. At OTES, grade 3 outperformed the district by 4% and the state by 8%. Grade 4, OTES underperformed the district by 10% and outperformed the state by 3%. Wanamassa, grade 3, outperformed the district by 8% and the state by 12%. Grade 4 outperformed the district by 13% and the state by 26%. Wayside, grade 3, underperformed the district by 7% and the state by 3%. Grade 4 was equal to the district, and grade 4 in mathematics outperformed the state by 13%. Moving on to the intermediate school, where students tested in grades 5 through 8 in ELA and mathematics. So we're looking at ELA first. The school is in red, and the percentages in red, those percentages reflect the percent of students who scored a 4 or a 5 on the PARC assessment. The next column, we're comparing to the state of New Jersey, and then we have the PARC consortium. So you will see that OTES outperformed the state in all grade levels in ELA, with fifth grade demonstrating the greatest percentage of students meeting or exceeding expectations in ELA with 58%. So 58% of the fifth grade students scored a 4 or a 5 on the PARC assessment in ELA. And now we'll look at the math results for the same school. Students in grades 5 through 8 took the PARC math assessment. 8th grade students, some of the 8th grade students are enrolled in Algebra 1, so they did not take the 8th grade PARC assessment. They took the Algebra 1 PARC. 68 of our middle school students sat for the Algebra 1 PARC assessment. Again, you will see that TOIS students outperform the state in all grade levels, with 6th grade demonstrating the greatest percentage of students meeting or exceeding expectations. So 6th grade, we have 50% of the students scored a 4 or 5 on the PARC assessment. The Algebra 1 results, again, I said 68 students sat for Algebra 1. 90% of our students in 8th grade Algebra 1 scored a 4 or 5 on their PARC assessment. The 8th grade results, just like across the state, are low, but are more mathematically talented students are not in the 8th grade math classes. They're in Algebra 1 and sat for that test. So that's why the 8th grade math results are somewhat skewed. And now we'll look at the high school outcomes. But before we do look at the high school, I would like to speak to how testing occurred last year at the high school. As you know, the high school operates under a semester block. So students have classes in the fall and then, for the most part, different classes in the spring. Last year, the state, even though they had told us that they would be ready to give us a PARC assessment in the fall, when fall came, they weren't ready. So there was no PARC assessment for us to administer to the fall students because one did not exist. In the spring, the state gave our district the option of testing all of our students or just testing the students in math, the students who were enrolled in math or ELA in the spring. We chose to test only the students who were enrolled in math or ELA in the spring. And we did that because to do otherwise would have meant pulling the students who were now in different classes out of those different classes in the spring to take a math or an ELA test for a course they took in the fall. It would have disrupted their instruction. So we chose to only test the students who were enrolled in Algebra 1 Geometry or Algebra 2 in the spring, or ELA grade 9, 10, or 11 in the spring. So our participation counts are considerably low because we essentially only tested approximately half of our students. So this first column is the count of the valid test scores. And if you look in ELA, our 10th grade students performed as well as those across the state with 37% scoring a 4 or 5. 9th and 11th grade students underperformed those across the state. And if we look at mathematics, again, the participation counts are low. And in all courses, the state outperformed our district. And now we'll move on and look at the NJS science results. NJS science is still administered to students in grades 4 and 8. And the scores are reported differently than PARC test results. These scores are reported so we can compare to a district factor group. Those are schools that are similar to ours in socioeconomic status, and we can compare our results to those across the state. And you'll see we're above the DFG district factor group by 0.2%. and above the state by 4.5%. This is for NJS 4 science. And if we look at NJS 8 science, the results are very similar. The DFG, we're above the DFG by 0.2% and above the state by 6.7%. Now we'll move on to the SAT results. Comparing the results from 2013 to 2014 to 2015. And last year, the students who sat for the SAT last year demonstrated a decrease in performance in all areas, in reading, writing, and mathematics. And sometimes this does happen as a fluke one year, and then the next year it's a rebound. So while there is certainly a level of concern with score results like this, sometimes it happens one year, and then the next year the scores bounce right back. And we can compare the results to the state and across the nation. In reading and writing, we're better than the national scores, but 3 points below in math. In all three areas, we're below the state for 2015. And lastly, we have the AP highlights. In May of 2015, 272 high school students took 500 AP exams in 22 subject areas. Some students take multiple exams. Of the 518 exams taken, 265 exams were scored a 3 or higher. 8% of the exams scored a perfect 5. Approximately 26% of the exams scored a 4 or 5, and 51% of the exams were scored a 3 or better. Looking at it graphically, we have here the number of exams that were scored a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 5. Hitting on some highlights, 83% of the 12 students in AP Spanish scored a 3 or higher, 76% of the 37 students in AP U.S. History scored a 3 or higher, and 69% of the 29 students in Environmental Science scored a 3 or higher. 72% of the 50 students in AP English language scored a 3 or higher, 63% of the 16 students in AP Biology, 63% of the 16 students in AP Calc scored a 3 or higher, and 62% of the 91 students in AP Psychology scored a 3 or higher. And this chart shows the percentage of total AP students with a score of 3 or better, and you'll notice Ocean Township High School is the navy blue bar. In 2015, 60% of our total AP students scored a 3 or better, and in 2014, 54% of the total AP students scored a 3 or higher. So we've demonstrated an increase here of 6%. More students scoring a 3 or higher from 2014 to 2015. Certainly more information about the AP test can be found on collegeboard.com. There will be a quiz.
Is it a park quiz?
I know that that was a lot of information. I'm not sure if anybody has any questions that they'd like to ask now, or you'd rather digest first, and then perhaps you'll have questions later. Any questions? Yes?
Do they still give the SAT test?
Yes.
Given the glitch that we had in the SAT scores, did you look at the PSAT scores for the same classes to see if the same glitch was recorded with those classes with that test?
Kelly, would you like to speak to that?
I did. It's difficult to do that because we've just begun requiring the PSAT for all students. Before that, it was optional, so we didn't have full data of that test.
Additionally, the PSAT score is being scored differently now, so it's challenging to compare the data because it's coming in a different form.
Because it will be a new test, so it will unfortunately be difficult to compare what you just saw this last year's data with next year's because it's a new format. The test is in a new format.
But certainly, now that the format moving forward will be the same as we advance through the future years, it will be much easier to compare.
Mary, I have a question. Are the public magnet schools included in the AP score results? Do you know that?
They are.
Oh, you mean when we are looking at across the state?
Are they included?
Yes. And there's a difference there. We open up our AP doors to students of all caliber. Mm-hmm. That if there's an interest and a desire, the doors are open to them because we feel exposure to the content is more important than anything else. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the magnet schools, there's a screening to be in there.
That's why our
results tend to be on the lower side than perhaps we'd like, but we know that we've given an opportunity to many students.
We also require all of our students to take the AP test, where many schools do not. And so a select group may take it. Those students who are more secure in the fact that they're going to get a 3, 4, or 5, or that a school is more secure that those students are going to get a 3, 4, or 5, to where all of our students take the AP test, which I think is really a better gauge of how a school is doing overall. And I think not a lot of schools, you see that, because not every student has to take the AP test.
Yes?
What you just reported were statistics. The real question becomes, how does the professional staff interpret these results, and what, if any, action plans are being formulated as a result of these test scores?
That's a great question. And I will say this, that the supervisors take these scores and break them down and work intensely with the teachers. and the teachers analyze the scores to see, to look for trends and patterns. In other words, they will research to see, did all the students who I taught last year in fourth grade score poorly on informational text? If that seems to be a low performing area for the students who I taught last year, then clearly that's an area I would like to work on as a teacher this year with my students, which means that I pay more attention to when we're reading a science piece of literature or social studies, that I work more intensely with my students on that informational text. So for each department, each discipline, whether it be math or ELA, reading, writing, the teachers and the supervisors are going back and looking at the students they taught last year and seeing how they did to determine, does slight tweaking need to occur in the programs for this year? Are there weaknesses? And if so, what are they and what are the strengths? So this information, even though it's the first year of testing and it's baseline data, we certainly are analyzing it to determine, are there things that we could be doing better?
When will we, the public, receive the feedback on the results of that analysis?
I would think in the next few months you certainly could, because it's a lot of information to digest and to put together to serve as the anchor and the compass for the remainder of the year. Because, you know, as a teacher, if I taught 30 students, I'm looking at my students' reading scores, their writing scores, their math scores, and I'm looking at it individually, but I'm looking at the class as a whole. So it's, and then we have many teachers. So then we're looking at all of the third grade curriculum and seeing, do we have general weaknesses across the entire third grade? Is it limited to just a teacher, a school, or is it a programmatic issue across the district?
And one thing you would look at too is next year's PARC scores, and you'd look at two things. One, you'd look at how this year's students performed in those same areas the next year. In other words, for example, informational text or analyzing, reading comprehension or whatever it may be. How did they perform from third grade to fourth grade to fifth grade, and so on? But then, how did this year's third grade compare to last year's third grade? That even though they're different students, you're looking at those areas. Did they perform as well in reading comprehension or better in reading comprehension than last year's kids? So that would be indicative of our students or our teachers identifying an issue and then, you know, tailoring their instruction to address the weakness that might exist. So that's another way we measure it. So that you as a public would know hopefully less than a year from now when we have these results and are making a similar presentation. Thank you, Mrs. Conrad.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'd also just like to say that, this was doing the PARC last year was a Herculean task, not just for the district, really across the state, but I really want to congratulate our students and our teachers and our administrators for the efforts that they put forth in making the PARC work, the administration of the PARC. When you look at our numbers, I think you look at, around 50%, hovering around 50%, and you think, gee, is that good? Is it not good? We really weren't looking at that. What we were looking at is, yes, we're looking at how we compare across the state, and we recognize we have work to do, and I think we would all recognize that. But the effort that was put out to make sure that this assessment was given and taken seriously by our students and that the students were prepared for the assessments in the first year, first time on the computer, so many firsts when it comes to PARC, that I think our students, teachers, and administrators should be congratulated. So, and parents as well, for your patience with us as we went through this process. So we do thank you for that. And I understand our full DECA contingent is here. Is that true, Mr. Corn?
Yes.
Thank you for being patient, DECA. We appreciate it. And now we'd like to take an opportunity to honor you folks as well. So our DECA team, and you're going to have to help me out, Mr. Cohen. I always forget what DECA stands for because we always say DECA.
It doesn't stand for anything anymore.
Really?
It was a rebranding of DECA. Oh. It used to be Distributive Education Clubs of America, but that doesn't exist anymore.
See, PARC so stands for something, but we just all say PARC.
Well, they rebranded it. It's just a meaningless word.
Okay.
Now.
Well, the members of the Ocean Township Meaningless Word Club. Now, we want to congratulate our DECA team on their outstanding performance at the DECA 2015 Innovations and Entrepreneurship Conference held in Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Beautiful Austin, Texas.
Beautiful.
You see the backs?
Back in November, over 2,500 students took part in the DECA Ultimate Power Trip, participating in professional learning seminars, competitive events, and business pitch in a business pitch challenge. Probably reminiscence of Shark Tank, I would assume. Like that, yes. The Ocean DECA team was represented by 12 students. Of the 12 students, three were national finalists in the Business Pitch Challenge. And those three students are here this evening. So I'm going to ask Ms. Weldon to come up. She has a certificate. And of course, their advisor, Mr. Greg Colon, who does an amazing job with this group. And so we have Allie Sigerman. Allie, are you here? What was your pitch, Allie? Did you guys do it as a group or did you do it individually?
It's different groups.
Yeah, they're okay. Different groups.
So do you have like $1 million idea we can all invest in?
Maybe.
Doesn't want to share that quite yet?
Okay, yeah, let's
all right. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to stand up when you're done so we can get a group shot with your colleagues.
Just to add a little bit more about what they actually do.
Please, go ahead.
When we go away at these competitions, it's a ton of work, and it's a big commitment from the students, from the families. Financially, they're missing some school in order to go to these competitions, so they're stressed with that, having to make up work. With this particular competition, what they do is they engage in a business pitch that they only find out a few hours prior. So within those few hours, they're coming up with their group, with people they've never met before from throughout the country, coming up with a comprehensive business pitch that they're now then presenting to an audience of over 2,500 fellow students. And based on their score with online voting, they have determined who the winners are and who the finalists are. So we do quite well in these competitions. And thank you for allowing us to go to these competitions to represent Ocean.
Keep on winning, we'll keep sending.
We try.
There's a direct correlation in between these things.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll keep winning.
All right. All right, next up, Connor Daly. Connor. Congratulations. And then Shailen Shaw. Shailen.
Hashtag.
Hey, you know you're off to turn around in a couple minutes, right? Yeah. Okay, everybody spin. Everybody spin. Everybody spin. Come on. And you know the clocks in the back, we can timestamp this picture.
Perfect. Oh, this is amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that concludes my report for this evening.
Yeah, nice and brief. Thank you, Doctor. Okay,
again. Thank you, Mr.
We'll be back soon.
I know you
will. We have other competitions coming up.
Outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks. All right. Following are a series of motions to be read by the committee chairpersons. All motions have been discussed at a recent public work session. Some motions have been approved at a public work session. The minutes for the approved items are on the back table. All motions are posted on the bulletin board in the rear of the auditorium, along with reference lists and attachments. At this point in the meeting, we will now conduct the first of two public comment sessions. The first session will be open for public comments on agenda items only. The second session will be at the end of the meeting and can be on any topic. Would anyone from the public like to comment on any agenda item at this time? kind of parked you out, didn't we? All right. Okay. Do you have a motion for the approval of the minutes?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All right. Ms. General?
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Abstaining from the December 15th, yes to the January 5th and 12th.
Mr. Marshall?
Also abstaining from the December 15th and yes to the January 12th and 5th.
Mrs. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis?
Yes.
Ms. Parlanis?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, and then for the presentation of bills, Mr. Moore?
Okay, thank you. Motion for the approval of filing paid items as listed. Total is $6,997,396.41. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Ms. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis?
Yes.
Mr. Parlamas?
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. Co-curricular student activities, Mrs. McGovern.
I have no report tonight.
Thank you. Okay. Community liaison and communications, Mrs. Sylvia Chaffee.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have one item tonight. HIB report number 5, which was recently reviewed January 12th. I have a second.
Second.
Mr. General, please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis?
Yes.
Ms. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, financial management and resource services, Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you. I have 4 motions this evening. Number 1 is the resolution certifies that budget balances at the end of December were adequate to pay all remaining obligations of the 15-16 school year, and that account groupings required by the state have adequate balances. Board's also certifying that the independent reports of the treasurer and business officer in agreement. 2 is a motion to transfer monies from one account in the budget to another and provide adequate balances referred to in the first motion. Number 3 are security drill reports for December 2015 as listed. And motion 4 is to approve the use of facilities according to the attached list dated January 19, 2016. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Mr. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis?
Yes.
Ms. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the 4 motions carried.
Okay, instruction education, Mr. Marshall.
Thank you. I have 10 items tonight to present. Number 1, we move to approve the attached memorandum dated January 15th, 2016, regarding professional development activities, staff professional development activities. Item number 2, we move to approve the request of Melanie Davis, a student at Monmouth University, to complete a social work, school social work internship under the guidance of Karen Dunn, social worker at Ocean Township High School. Item number 3 is we move to approve the request of Paola Ladawasser, Spanish teacher at Ocean Township High School, to complete 60 hours of field work towards her learning disability teacher consultant certification at Monmouth University. Item number 4, we move to approve student observers toward the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum dated January 8th and January 15th, 2016. Item number 5 is we move to approve students from Kane University to observe adaptive physical education classes at the Wayside Elementary School in accordance with the attached memorandum. Item number 6, we move to approve an addendum to out-of-state district private tuition for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum dated January 11th, 2016. Item 7, we move to approve a revision to out-of-state district private tuition for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum dated January 12, 2016. Item number 8, we move to approve the district suspension report for the month of December 2015. Item 9, we move to approve the following trip request, the grade 8 Italian classes, a trip taking 40 students on Tuesday, February 9th, 2016 to Italy in New York City for a working lesson on food vocabulary, cooking classes, and culture at the cost of $15 paid per student.
Finally, number 10, we move to approve a student teacher for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum dated January 15, 2016.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Okay. Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes to items 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I abstain from items 2, 3, 4, and 10.
Sorry, 2, 3, 4, and 10?
Correct.
Ms. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Palouse?
Yes.
Ms. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion's carried.
Thank you. Negotiations, Mr. Moore.
Thank you. A motion tonight for the approval of the Memorandum of Agreement between the Township of Ocean Board of Education and the Township of Ocean Bus Drivers Association for the years 2015-16, 16 and 17, and 2017-2018 as per attached.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Mr. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Palouse?
Yes.
Ms. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Personnel, Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes, Mr. Haddon, I have 12 motions this evening. First, I move to approve the suspension with pay of employee number 4344, December 21st through January 15, 2016. Second, I move to approve the suspension with pay of employee number 4354 beginning January 15th and continuing until further notice. Third, I move to approve the following retirements: Debbie Arbus, Eleanor Goslin, Roseanne McCarthy, Ann Papaliu, and Deborah Spraga. Four, I move to approve the following district teachers as school safety patrol advisors as listed. Five, I move to approve Jonathan Molinelli, Kevin Rain, and Kristen Vona as school safety patrol advisors for Ocean Township Elementary School. Six, I move to approve spring coaching recommendations as listed. Seven, I move to approve substitute teachers as listed. Eight, move to approve change on guide for staff members who have submitted proof of completion of their required courses. Nine, move to approve that a contract be issued to Libby Landman, special ed teacher at the high school. 10, I move to approve Emily Lee, art teacher, Wayside Elementary School, to take an unpaid leave of absence. 11, I move to approve Megan McDavitt, English teacher, high school, to take an unpaid leave of absence. 12, I move to approve Stacy Hughes, special education teacher, Ocean Township Elementary, to take an unpaid family leave of absence. And that's it. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Janerone, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Palouse?
Yes.
Mr. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
12 motions carried.
Thank you. Planning and construction, Mr. Dietrich.
Mr. Haddon, I do not have a report for this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Technology, Mr. Palouse.
Mr. Haddon, I do not have a report for this evening.
First meeting of the you guys can show the reports. Thank you. All right, having said that, is there any old business? Okay, is there any new business? Okay, do you have any public comment on any issue? Mr. Marowitz.
I couldn't help but notice the architectural renderings on the wall over here. Where are we on each of the projects that we approved in the $30 million referendum? Have some of those started? Some going out to bid? Have we developed specifications? What are the timetables?
Can I do
that? Yeah.
Okay. Since the approval in December, let's see if I forget anything.
It was 28.9 million, not 30. Don't round up.
I round up.
The shorter lead time projects were done this summer, so we were able to complete the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade science classrooms at the intermediate school, at Dow Avenue, Ocean Township Elementary School, the art and music room renovations, the HVAC work in the Wanamassa School and Dow Avenue Elementary Schools were completed.
High school, intermediate school, gym?
Was that part of that?
No, that wasn't part of that. I think that,
that was all work this summer.
I think that was it for the summer. Design was also continuing meetings with the architect, meeting with teachers and different groups at each of the schools for the larger additions that were coming. So right now, those meetings took place. The design took place in the fall. The right now that's on the street as far as bids are the HVAC work for the high school and HVAC work for the Wayside Elementary School and the addition for the Wayside Elementary School. They are all due back February 9th, so we will have bid results this month for those three projects. And then the longer lead time, the larger projects, the high school renovations, which consists of the athletic and the performance arts wings at the high school, they are going out. The plan is to, for them to go out in February and to be due back towards the end of March. That's for the high school, those two additions, and the one Amasa, the addition at the one Amasa school. Did I miss anything?
So we're giving potential bidders 4 weeks to respond to the bids?
At least, yes. Yes.
And?
Those are rough dates. They haven't gone out yet. We had a pre-construction meeting last week, very well attended, so I was happy about that for the projects that are due back in February, February 9th. So hopefully, you know, the timing, bidding most of the times is all timing. And that's why we did not try to push everything for this last summer, because when you try to push things for summer and you get bids out in April, then you're going to pay for it, basically. So with the bidding going on in January, February, March, we do expect to get good prices. Actually, we had hoped to do the Wayside Elementary School HVAC last summer, but the bids came back so high, and the Wayside Elementary School wasn't happy about it. But the bids came back so high that the board decided to push those bids off to the next round, just because, as you know, when the public approves $28.9 million, it's $28.9 million. So if the bids come in, you know, over budget, then that means something else has to go. So that's a little background of some of the things that have happened so far.
Can we just do a public notice for the bid proposals, or do we also send the bid proposals to a select group of vendors?
We do send out the architect and construction manager who we went to RFP for before the referendum. They send out to everyone every list of contractors, good contractors they have. It's also picked up, once you do the advertisements, picked up by the construction news. There are people who have magazines and trade magazines in which that's what they do. And it's not even magazines anymore. Of course, it's all online, social media. So that's picked up, and it does go out to many contractors. Now, when we get to the larger projects, that kind of not everyone can handle the larger projects. So hopefully we'll you know, with the timing being right, we'll get as many qualified construction general contractors, GCs, as we can.
And this is unlike professional contracts where we do have to accept the lowest bid?
The lowest responsible and responsive bid. So they have to meet all the specifications. So they have to tell, you know, from affirmative action to business registration, the whole litany, they have to be pre-registered. They have to meet all the state requirements. And if they meet all the requirements and they submit everything in a correct manner and they're, you know, they haven't been disbarred or they in sometimes proving whether they're responsible or not can be difficult because, you know, you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit if you try to disqualify someone based on, you know, hearsay or how they did this job or that job. So that can be much more difficult. But as long as they're pre-qualified by the state and they've met their insurance requirements and, you know, affirmative action and everything else, then yes, it's the lowest responsible and responsive bid.
Thank you.
And we have that sheet that basically outlines. We just produced that.
Yeah, maybe I can post that on the website. Yeah, it's a good idea. Okay. Thank you. I'll do that.
Any other public comment?
Michael Riley, 7th Carolina.
and TOE game president. I just have a couple of questions. I was informed today that the heat in high school was not working appropriately, and the classes were told to move to other classes that were properly heated. Is that going to be taken care of? It's getting a little cold.
Absolutely, next summer, or by the summer. That's the round of bids. I'm sorry for jumping in, but... Yeah, that the HVAC.
But what about this
Thank you so much.
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Next summer.
Next week it's going up into the 40s.
So. We were piggybacking on the referendum, so that's right. Yeah. They're being corrected. Everyone that's reported there, we have a HVAC technician. We have a licensed plumber and we have a licensed electrician, and we have outside contractors if we need to. So, any issues there are reported, and they're in there working on to fix them. When it gets cold, it's difficult sometimes with a district this size and heating units that are 20 plus years old.
Right.
So they won't be that old from the referendum.
Next summer. Next year.
And more energy efficient too.
There you go.
There you go.
One more question. After the last in-service, the SurveyMonkey that was put out was supposed to be anonymous, and several staff members, we all discovered very quickly that the results were put out publicly. And as a result, there was quite the stir in the schools about the fact that, they answered these questions anonymously, and now all of a sudden, everybody knows what the answers were. And in several cases, some of the staff members put their names on the SurveyMonkey. In other different cases, they just simply put information that led everyone to understand who they were. So in short, there was quite a bit of, embarrassment. And my question is simply, after the next in-service, will there be another SurveyMonkey? And will it remain private, or will it again be broadcast to the school system?
Can you address that?
Yes, please.
The in February, most of the workshops that will be done are school based. So those will be surveyed individually by supervisors or at the building level, probably through the SIP, through the school improvement panels. Mm-hmm. So there won't be a large sort of survey. In addressing that other issue, I certainly appreciate what you're saying and that's, part of that is, not part of it, all of it is my responsibility in that, in reading several hundred responses, the two responses where people did list their names, one, I just missed entirely, didn't see it, and the other, I actually kind of did see, and then it just kind of got lost in the shuffle. That's my fault. I had spoken to at least one of those individuals and talked about that and kind of talked that through with them. So it certainly was not ever my intention to identify anyone. It was by putting it out to, and when you say publicly, we're talking about to the staff. We're not talking about to the general public. Mm-hmm. It was the intention to just be completely transparent. Mm-hmm. So as not to, give any kind of indication that anything was held back or, in putting some things out that I only chose certain responses or anything like that. So the idea was to be completely transparent, and yes, it's regrettable that a couple people's names were included, and that's my responsibility, and I certainly apologize for that and spoke, to at least one of those individuals directly. So I can assure you that will not happen again.
So there will be a questionnaire of some type?
It's my understanding that usually after the in-services, either the SIPs or the building principals or the supervisors do survey folks who attended attended workshops to see and to gain that feedback. So
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have any other public comment? Dr. Miller.
I know I brought this up before, and today's weather is an example of why I bring it up again. All other township meetings, Township Council, Board of Adjustment, the Planning Board, have their meetings televised. I again bring to the Ocean Township School Board the request that their meetings be televised so that the public to be aware of what is happening at the council pit. The weather is bad. We don't know what will be next week or the week after. We don't know what happens next time there is another general meeting. We may have a flood. The meetings are televised. At least the public knows what's going on. There should be transparency. And the only way to get transparency is for the public to know what's happening. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Marwin brought up the issue of transparency. When will the minutes from tonight's meeting be available? Did you reach a resolution on that issue?
I think we're by next workshop meeting. We decided they would be published the next workshop meeting. So that's
published at the next workshop meeting, but not necessarily prior to.
Correct.
We have to
Yes.
vote on it.
Or with, well, yes.
Well, we're working on that.
Well, the meeting's usually every week anyway.
Yeah, they're every week.
So it's the difference of 1 week.
So the board meeting minutes will be or will not be available prior to the next board meeting?
The next workshop meeting. In the past, they've been available the next regular meeting. So the next workshop
Thank
is.
You. So thank you.
Yes.
It's a step forward. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
And I haven't, I haven't broke it to my secretary yet either, so don't tell me.
Thank you, everybody.
Let me tell you something, less transparency and less political.
Right? Well, you know, honest.
I know much. Now, every word you utter,
I know. It's the truth. You're absolutely right.
I couldn't do your job now.
I wish you would.
I enjoyed it when I did it.
So I'm hearing you might be going to America.
My daughter's here, and she'd like to take me.
So
well, not with her, to her place. I'm going down the end of the month to look at a
period.
I don't know. It's a big decision.
I know it. She's leaving all your friends here.
Well, that's it. She works. You know, she's a great daughter. She's got her own life.